Blog Talk Radio.
Praising John, you like? We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Not by sight. What you see determines what you feel. When you go to the bank,
teller, and you put your card in, and you get a balance on your account, and your account register a little of none. It don't have nothing in there. It have little of none in there. It's going to determine how you feel. You start feeling sour, bad. Oh, I ain't got no money. Oh, I can't do nothing. I can't even buy me a stick of gum. You start feeling bad because of what you see. What you see determines what you feel. Now, we got to change that as being creatures of the spirit, from the spirit realm of the living God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We walk by faith. So God instructed the children of Israel to put his word as signs before their eyes. Put it on your doorposts. Put it over your doorposts of your homes. You got to have something, even when you come in here, you got to have something that's saying, look, this is a spirit faith filled house. Come on, I ain't going to ask you, because a lot of folks, if you walk the house, you ain't got nothing over your doorpost that resembles faith. Come on, you ain't got nothing over there, You got some over yours? Okay, all right, that's good. But how strong is your faith? All right. Yeah, what you say? Now, you just said sometimes. Now, why? You're dealing with your bishop now. You're dealing with your boy. You're dealing with your boy now. Come on. You got that. Come on. Because your faith ain't as strong as you say it is. Come on. Now, this is the time. Look, I'm telling you, this is the time we get down to the nitty gritty here, you know. But we don't teach you, because I can show you your faith ain't as strong as we say it is. So we can't pull nothing over our head, because we can't pull it over God's head. Come on.
Complaining about anything.
not you say. Huh? The house of my heart is in there. Huh? But when I'm walking in my physical and I know I got it in my heart, when I said, okay, okay, I'm back now. Okay, I almost fainted. That what David said, I had almost. I almost fainted till I saw that sign, I'm more than a conqueror. Okay, I almost. Huh? I almost fainted until I saw, fret not thyself. I almost fainted. I would have, but I saw that sign that said, I can do all things. I got my signs that will penetrate the mindset in which I'm in to get me to be better and feel better than how I'm feeling. That's why I said earlier, it amazes me how so many Christians, the number of Christians that are in the mood of depression. You have so many saints in a depressed state. But we say we have faith. Well, I don't know. You don't have faith. Because if you had faith, you know. If you allowed your faith to operate, I know how I'm going to get out of this. I know how I'm going to get through this. Even though my body is telling me, look here, you ain't going to make it. I might not make it as fast as you. Come on. But I'm not going to let this slow me down. Because my faith tells me I'm not going to be here always. But if I keep looking and seeing what I'm going through, I'm going to stay there a whole lot longer than what I should. My eye affected mine heart. Lamentations 3:51, that's what it says. My eye affected my heart. What I see determines how I feel. Mine own eye affected my heart. As I said, someone made the statement, made the comment, they looked at a young lady, she didn't look like she was a greeter. She didn't look like she was nice. Because my eye affected my heart. Come on, you looked at somebody and they looked handsome and they looked pretty, but they turned out to be the bride of Frankenstein and turned out to be Chucky himself. Because my eye affected my heart. What you see determines how you feel. Come on, it determines how you're going to feel. So you got to know how to walk by faith and not by sight. 19 says, number 19 tells us that we got to look on the bright side of the problem. Don't look at problems as always being a problem. Don't look at individuals always being a problem child or a problem individual. Look on the bright side of it. Come on. Don't look at folk always as being foolish. You're going to stay foolish always. Look on the bright side of it. Learn to make lemonade out of lemons. We got to know how to look on the bright side. Y'all need to go and tell somebody the bishop is on and he's on fire tonight already. Let me be careful. As I say, when we look on the bright side, as I shared with you, as I stopped by the train and I had time to think, when we look at delays, don't look at delays as being something bad, but look at delays as giving you some time to think about some things. As I began to think about it as the train was going so slow, and I seen, as I told you, all the graffiti that was written and drew all over the trains. People have talents, have gifts, but they have to hide their talents and gifts And what God showed me, he said, I want to expose your talents and your gift where you don't have to hide it. In the kingdom of God, you can express your talents, express your gifts, because I've given it to you for the kingdom. People are so creative when they start drawing the graffiti and all of this on the trains and on buildings. They are so gifted and talented and come up with so much creation. But then they're doing it because in the dark. Oh, God, I ain't getting that far, because sometime or it's in the daytime, sometimes it's in the dark, because sometimes if you get caught, they're going to take you straight to jail. So they go in abandoned places where folk are not there, where trains are sitting all by themselves and things are by themselves. So they begin to utilize their gifts and their creativity and begin to draw these things, this graffiti on these walls and on these trains. But God has given them a gift so special. If we can utilize the gift that he's given you so special in the kingdom of God, what, just as creative as they're putting it on these walls and these trains, you can make your creation be so creative in the house of God to make it beautiful, because there are some great drawings, there are some great writings that they have and that they're putting out, and the expressions that they have and they're showing. It's there. It's there. And we got to use that for the kingdom of God. Huh? The kingdom, we as people get it confused. Yeah, we get a lot of stuff confused. We got to know how to express our talents. We get so much stuff confused as whom God and what God has given and how we are supposed to use them. Get things confused. But God has given you something for his kingdom. But we don't have a problem using them everywhere else. Come on, we got to use it for the kingdom. We got to look on the bright side of things. Think about all the potential. All the potential advantages a problem might produce. There are some advantages that a problem just might produce. We say it like this in the Christian sense. You may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good. Huh? The potential and the advantages of some problems. If you never would have ran into a problem or had a problem in your life, you may not have had what you got right now. If you didn't have people lying on you and people using you and the enemy trying to tear you down, you wouldn't have a table right now. Come on, he prepares a table in the very presence of mine enemy. So if I got enemies, I know I got a table, and my table is being prepared because of my problem. And now they can see you can't stop what God has ordained. Let me say that again, because some of y'all missed that right there. You ought to understand this, and got to understand this. You cannot stop what God ordained. I don't care what type of problems that you try to bring forth or pull out of it. You can't stop what God has ordained. What he will do, he'll take your problem that you tried to call somebody and prepare that table, and you'll be trying to figure out how in the world they got that. How did they get that done when I did everything I could to destroy it? No, I'm going to prepare it right in the presence of your enemy. God knows how to confuse your enemy better than you do. Yeah, he does it better than we do. We got to look on the bright side of things. That's why he said in Philippians 4:8, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We got to look on the bright side of things. Everybody's not bad, even though they are bad. Look on the bright side of it. Look at some potential. Look on the bright side of some things. Then we went on to number 20. Focus on the rewards of finishing a task. You got to focus on the rewards of finishing a task. Come on, we got to be finishers. A lot of times we start things, but we never finish them because we lose focus. You got to focus on the reward. Every task, as we begin to say, every task has an unpleasant side. There's some things you ain't gonna like doing. There's some things I don't like doing. Huh? That's unpleasant. But there's a finishing product. If I focus on it, I'm looking at that finishing product, and then I'll enjoy it. As we said earlier, you know, if you want some fruit, if you want vegetables, you got to go out there and get in the dirt, get in the mud. You got to plant the seed. Come on, you fixing your garden. Look, you got to go in there. You got to get down with some weeds. You got to pull stuff out. It's unpleasant. You don't like that. You got bugs. Some folks run from bugs. It's unpleasant. You got to go through the thick and the thin, the rain. You got to go through the mud. All this that you got to go through. Huh? That's unpleasant. But the finishing product, the finishing task, is that seed, what that seed you planted, which is going to reproduce or produce from. If you get an orange, if you get them collard greens, y'all love them collard greens on Thanksgiving, and you love, I'm telling you, you love the potatoes, you love the sweet potato pies, you know, you because their seeds have been planted. So when you get the finishing product of it, you enjoy it, but you had to go through something to get it.
Yeah. Just like a diamond.
Hmm? Just like a diamond. A diamond don't look like a dime. You wouldn't even know it's a diamond.
Right.
Hmm?
Right.
Until you put some pressure on it. That coal, you got to put some pressure on that coal. It looks a black coal. You got to put some pressure on it. And when the pressure gets to it, now it comes out as a beautiful diamond. As the people of God, we got to go through something. God have to put pressure on us sometimes. For us to come out into something beautiful. Every task has an unpleasant side, but you must cultivate focus on the end results of what you are producing. You got to keep your eyes on the finishing product. Keep your eyes on the prize. I press for tomorrow. The prize of the high calling. Your eyes have to stay on what you're trying to accomplish. What is it that you're focusing on? What is it that you couldn't complete because you lost focus? Your focus got off of what you were trying to complete. And it took you a little longer. Come on in here. Watch. It says complainers or complaining people focus on the wrong thing. The folks that complain, they focus on the wrong thing. They focus on their effort, toil, or responsibility. Focusing on the wrong thing. It's all about I. What I done put in. How much I done gave. You're focusing on the wrong thing. It's all about you. I'm the only one down here doing something. I'm the only one working. I'm the only one putting in. I'm the only one willing to sit up all night. I'm the only one. It's my responsibility. I got so much on my plate. You ain't got nothing on your plate. Come on. If this is on your plate, it's because you piled it on there. And you refuse to eat some of the stuff. Y'all ain't talking now. You refuse to eat some of the stuff to take it off, to remove some stuff on your plate. You just piled it up because you want folks to think that you got a lot to do. You ain't got nothing to do. Y'all ain't talking. Huh? Just going to put stuff on that. I got all this I got to deal with. No, what is it that you really have to deal with? Because if you had something to deal with, you would have had a plan, you would have had some order, you would have had some structure, so your plate wouldn't be like it is. I'm teaching. Your plate wouldn't be as high if you had structure. It wouldn't be as high. Much wouldn't be on your plate if you had some order.
That's right.
That shows me the lack of discipline and the lack of order that you have because your plate is piled too high.
All right, all right.
You ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You've lost focus. So now you begin to feel miserable because when you look at your plate, you got too much that you can't handle. Grandma used to tell me your eyes bigger than your belly. You got too much and you can't handle it. So now you begin complaining. You begin complaining about the wrong stuff, focusing on the wrong thing. You're trying to do everything at the same time. When all you have to do is get some structure, line some things out, and put some discipline in yourself and say, okay, I'm going to take care of this right here. Here go the green part. Here go the vegetables. Okay, I need to deal with the starch. Y'all ain't looking at me. Y'all looking at me crazy. But now I'm going to deal with this meat. Because I should be on meat now, but I'm still on this milk. Come on, I can't handle the plate because I'm still on milk. You got to have some discipline in yourself. You can't keep piling stuff up and thinking you're going to knock it all down. It's going to take you longer because when you go and you, and y'all know when you go to the buffet, they have so much stuff up there and you want to pile stuff up on your plate. You want to pile it up. Then watch this. You can't even eat it all. But you got so much. Why? I'm trying. Why do they call it a buffet? You can go back and get some more. A lot of times we think there's no more there. So you try to pile it all up at one time. And then, watch, when you pile it up, it gets cold. Then you go, I'm getting better. Come on, I'm working this thing tonight. I'm working this tonight, come on. Because now once it gets cold, you don't want it. That's what happens when you pile stuff up on your plate in the kingdom and try to do so much. It begins to get cold, and now you don't want to do anything because it's cold now. It's cold. I can't handle that. I can't take it. You've gotten cold. You were on fire at one point. Now you've gotten cold. So now it takes time now, and we don't want to sit and wait. Y'all, I'm working this thing. Y'all know we old time people. We go to old time. Now we don't want to sit and wait because now it's going to take 20 minutes before the chicken gets fried.
Come on now.
We don't want to wait on it now for it to be hot. Because now we've gotten so full and frustrated. Y'all, it is sad when you get fooled and frustrated at the same time. Boy, you showing up teaching tonight. I told y'all to go tell somebody, call and let them know the bishop is on fire tonight. It's something when you get full and frustrated. Because you're eating stuff that you really want but don't want it at the time. So it makes you full and you're frustrated because what you wanted gonna take more time for them to put it out. So now I'm upset because I wanted it all together, but it didn't come together. Instead of me saying, okay, if it's going to take such and such time, let me start with something else that's light that I can take care of. If I take care of this, then I'll have time and room for this. But we're trying to put so much together at one time, and it's causing us to get full and frustrated. So now we don't want to do anything. We sit on our blessed assurance, don't want to come out, don't want to learn nothing. We don't want to participate because we are full and frustrated. then you won't, don't finish. You won't finish it because you're full frustrated. And you will not finish.
Off and on,
off and on. Because complaining people focus on the wrong thing. Champions talk faith. Because their focus is on the finished result. I'm a champion. I'm looking at what I know that I see. So I'm focusing on what I see. I'm focusing on the finished result. I know it may take me a while. Come on, since I was talking about food, let me go back to the bakery now. Let's go to the bakery, because when you start getting ready to bake a cake, come on in here. I thought I preached this. I think I preached a little bit right now. When you start getting ready to bake a cake, there are some things that are just too hard for you to swallow. Help me right here. Yeah, when you bake a cake from scratch, you bake a cake from scratch, there's some things that's hard for you to swallow. Well, you say, what is it that's hard for me to swallow? Okay, when you get a cake, when you get ready to bake a cake, you need some flour. And somebody say flour. You need some flour. You try to swallow some flour. It's hard for you to swallow. Come on, you need the buttermilk. Buttermilk is hard for you. Y'all looking at me like I don't know how to bake. It's hard for you to swallow. You get some eggs. It's hard for you to swallow. Come on. The sugar is hard for you to swallow. But when you put that stuff in the bowl and you begin to mix it all together, and when you put it in the oven and when it comes out and you put the icing on the cake, it ain't hard to swallow anymore because it went through some stuff. Good God, I told y'all I felt it right there. Yeah. You can eat that cake and you don't think about the buttermilk. You ain't thinking about the flour that was hard for you to swallow, the egg that was hard for you to swallow. You're not thinking about the sugar that was hard for you to swallow. You ain't thinking about the nothing, none of that. You're just enjoying the finishing product, which is the cake. So you'll say, oh, God, I can't wait to get this here. Now that it's finished, you are happy and excited that you got the finishing product because you kept your focus on the product. It's hard. Champions talk faith. I share with y'all, share with people, share with you all today. As champions talk faith, you know, Rick Ross, y'all know Rick Ross. Rick Ross, colleague, mine dad went to Albany State. A lot of folks don't know that, but he went to Albany State. And Rick Ross, in his segment, he's saying that Albany State changed his life. Football player. That Albany State around 94, 95, at the second semester, he just said, it's not for me. This is not for me. Because what? That wasn't his focus. His focus was on his music. Mother wanted him to stay in college, but he told his mother, look, I'm going to be the first millionaire of the family. But what? I'm telling you, if you keep focus, if you talk faith and keep focus, Rick Ross did become what? A millionaire, big blue chip, big wheel, who would call him back in the day, big wheel, blue chip. And say, understand that he focused on the prize of music. Yeah, he focused, he wanted to do music, and he did that. He didn't take his eyes off, even though parents wanted him to stay in college. That was a good thing, but he wanted to make music. So he focused on that, and he became whom we know now, Rick Ross. He became Rick Ross, which is Big Wheel. Y'all don't know him as Big Wheel or Blue Chip, but y'all know him as Rick Ross. Come on, from Albany State, saying, look, it changed his life. Albany State changed his life. And that's what God is trying to do with some of us in the kingdom, change our lives. But we got to have a focus. Focus is the key, you're right. He also left correction. He was a correction officer. talking faith, and let me go back and detour this thing again. When you start talking folk that ain't got no faith, now you got to go through some detours. There's some detours along the way that we may have to end up going down a road because there's some trouble up ahead. There's something that's out of place that is not fit for us to go down. So sometimes we have to go through a detour.
Amen.
Watch this now. As we shared with you earlier, let's share with the people. Because sometimes when you go down a road that has a detour sign, sometimes you go down roads that you're unfamiliar with. Unfamiliar roads that you don't know anything about because you've never been that way before. You're so used to going one particular way. Sometimes you got to go down a dirt road. Come on, you got to get your car, the vehicle all dirty. You got to go down dirt roads, and there's certain ways that you drive down the dirt road. Some folks don't know how to drive down the dirt road, but then we get down the detours and we try to outwit the detour. So now we're following people that don't know where they're going. Come on, and they turn down the road. You think, well, I turned down this road too, only to find out you end up in a dead end. That's why we say that some folk you don't need to follow.
Amen.
You got to be careful of who you follow because the signs for the detour is put up to let you know if you go this way, you'll get back on the road that you want to be on.
Yeah.
But when you begin to follow somebody that don't know where they're going, come on, you're going to be just as lost as they are. That's why you got to make sure you know how to follow the signs that God has put in ahead of us. He goes before us. He knows what the proper shepherd goes and clear out the path for the sheep. He knows the danger areas, the danger zones. So if we follow the path that he's placed in front of us, we'll miss some danger. But if we try to follow folks that think they know it all, I know a shortcut. You know, we like going around people that got shortcuts. I know a shortcut. I know a faster way. You end up just as lost and messed up and miserable as they are because they're getting frustrated now because they lost and they ain't trying to tell you, so they trying to act like they still know where they're going. So you upset because you missed the time you should have been at this place. Because we end up following people that don't know where they're going. Look at somebody and tell them, you got to be careful who you follow. Matthew 10:22 say that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You got to be careful. Not only that, you got to do. Let's go to 21. 21 says you got to ask a different question. Sometimes you got to go through the storm. That's right, Brother Carter. Sometimes you got to go through some storm. You just got to endure. You just got to suck it up and find out what is it that I must learn while I'm going through this. Because every shortcut is not a good shortcut. You end up worse off than you was in the beginning. You got to ask different questions. Stop asking yourself questions that do not have answers. Such as, why did this happen to me? Or why do they treat me this way? You got to ask different questions. Why did this happen to me? Why did they do this to me? You got to get to the point in your life when you begin to ask creative questions, such as, what can I do immediately to create change? What can I do to create this change immediately? Come on. Because a lot of us still asking questions. Why? Instead of, what can I do? Come on, there's a lot of things that we can do. I just got a message today that. They just passed the law down in Florida. If you're caught with the telephone, cell phone in your hand while driving, that's a $250 fine. Huh? Watch how foolish that is. Let me show you how foolish that is. Come on. Now, this is why we should be asking, what can I do to change this immediately? Because an officer is going to see you on the phone and give you a ticket. But they're going to be on their phone and it's going to be all right. Y'all ain't talking. I see it all the time. See it all the time. See them on the computer all the time driving. Then they figure out, oh, let me pull over and stop. But they'll give you a ticket, make up a law to give you a ticket that they're going to break. Y'all looking at Miss Frank. So what can I do to immediately change this? Come on, because if it's a law, it's a law for everybody. Huh? Not just for one individual. A certain individual is for everybody. What makes you any different? What makes you able to run a stop sign? What gives you the right to be able to speak? Now, what can we do? Go to the polls and vote these ignorant people out that are making these stupid laws. Amen. Y'all quiet. Because that's all they're doing, sitting there making these laws, which make no sense. So we've got to get to the point of asking, what can we do to immediately resolve this or change this? Now, why are they doing this? Why are they letting that happen? Why you ain't doing the what? Y'all ain't got quiet on me. Y'all ain't got quiet. I ain't seeing no hearts, no likes, or nothing. Y'all ain't got quiet too. Y'all ain't like that far. Huh? We got to get to the point in our lives where we be the what? What can we do to change this stuff immediately? What crazy foolish person will come up and talk about, okay, all teachers need to be armed. Foolish. That's foolishness. What can we do now to stop all this stuff? We got to go to the polls. Stop talking about our votes don't count. It don't matter. No, yes, they do. Because as long as we keep on saying why and not being the what, the why don't always win. Don't want to be on jury duty. Oh, you got warrants. Oh, Jay, I see why. I know. I understand. We got to make a stand to change something. Your mind will struggle to produce answers to every question you ask. It's going to struggle trying to produce answers to every question. You can't answer every question.
Amen.
So there's no need for you to try to exhaust it. You got to know how to ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. Well, what is it that you're doing to make the kingdom better? Why didn't they do that way? No, what did you do to help it be great? Why they won't let me do nothing? Why you don't put no time in? Uh-huh. Why they didn't give me nothing? Come on. What did you do doing? Instead of why things ain't working out for me, what are you doing? Why are you crying late in the midnight hour? What are you doing to stop crying? Why are you worrying about your bills? What are you doing to get a payment? Why my money is funny and my change is strange? What are you doing with your 10%? That should be the thing that we go around asking folks, what are you doing to make it better? Stop it now. What are you doing? And let me give you something that may help you. Matthew 7:7 says something like this. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. What are you doing?
That's in red.
What is it that you're doing? Stop asking yourself the question. Why did this happen to me?
Why not?
Or why do they treat me this way? What are you doing for folk to treat you the way they treat you? What did you do for something to happen to you? What are you doing? 22. Refuse the role of the victim. That's a good one. Refuse the role of the victim. You got to refuse being the victim. I'm refusing. I'm not going to play this role of the victim anymore. Refuse that, because the victim's vocabulary includes, I do not have an education. It's because I don't have the education that I need. I was a bruise. That's how we say it. I was a bruise when I was a child. My father deserted my mother. We need to refuse the role of the victim. My daddy was a drunk. He ain't cared that about me. My mama was a whore. She was never going to take care of me. Yeah, my parents, they was on drugs. Yeah, I'm coming. My daddy was always in prison, locked up. I used to tell them that excuses are tools of incompetence that build monuments of nothing. Therefore, there are none. Excuses. They say those who use them seldom amount to anything. Therefore, there are none. Excuses are tools of incompetence that build monuments of nothing. And those who use them seldom amount to anything. Therefore, there are none. Excuses. Divine Nine is in the house tonight. Yeah, Divine Nine is in the house. Yeah, I still remember. You don't amount to anything because your whole life is centered around excuses. You have become the victim. You're playing the role of the victim. I just want to tell you tonight, don't adopt this attitude. don't you go around adopting this attitude. You got to fight this thing.
You got
to fight it, because what? If you don't know it by now, can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
Lean forward. Yesterday is over. Yesterday is over. So guess what? Act like it. Forgetting those things which are behind you, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high call. I'll show where I'm teaching tonight. I'm teaching, my God. This man is teaching, mama. This man is teaching again.
You're on campus again.
Teach. Why? You got to act like it. I want you to understand this. Get this. Because you have the anointing of God wrapped around you. You're not a captive. You are a deliverer. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are victorious. So you gotta act like it. 1 John 4:4 says something like this. You are of God's little children. Don't call me now, Poncho. Bible studies.
Uh-oh.
Lying. Trying to talk. Look at it. Huh? I'm coming back. You're trying to call. Y'all tell Poncho I call him later. I talk about the fight later. I'm wild, but not now. Ortiz. But Ortiz was beating it. Huh? 1 John. Here we are. 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got to understand, you got something great in you, a whole lot greater. Let's go to 23. Try to get this. This is some good stuff here. Good word, good word. 23 says, assess your atmosphere. Assess your atmosphere. You got to assess the things around you. Assess your atmosphere. Know what your atmosphere is like. You say, watch as well as pray. Watch this now. Because Indians used to wet their fingers and hold it in the wind to discern which direction the wind was blowing. Back in the day, we used to pick up some grass and throw it up in the air, see which way it was blowing, and we know the wind was blowing in that particular direction. You got to assess your atmosphere. When you come into the kingdom of God, you got to assess your atmosphere. Okay, where my praise is at? Okay, where my believers at? You know, you got to assess this thing. You know, you got to center yourself around the right people. You got to get around the right folk, the right atmosphere. If I'm going through something, I need to sit on the depressed side.
Amen.
I don't need to go around folks just as depressed as I am. Come on. If I'm lonely, I don't need to go hang around lonely people. Come on. I got to go hang around somebody that got some life in them. That's going to help me. That's going to help build me up. You know, if I'm crying, why would I want to go around other folk that's crying? I ain't going to ever stop crying. You know what I'm saying? He's just crying, and they don't even know why they crying. They just start crying. You go around folk that's complaining about everything, guess what? You're going to start complaining. You don't need to be around. You need to assess your atmosphere. if I'm hanging around broke folk, guess what? I gotta assess my atmosphere. If I want something, I gotta be around folk that want something, that have something. Then I gotta learn from them that got something in order for me to get what I want and keep what I have. That's why we like we are right now. That's why folk, even in this area, when I told this is an area of ministry, that's why folk look at the way they look at each other in this area, because it's known for it as a poor area. So now everybody want to hang around everybody and say, well, I'm just as poor as you. You poor as me. You ain't got nothing like I ain't got nothing. Well, maybe I need to find somebody that got something to change my thinking, and my atmosphere might need to change. Because if I'm always hanging around folks that's nasty and bitter, I'll never progress. Because I'll fall in line with them. You must learn to observe and diagnose the current climate and emotional atmosphere others are creating around you.
All right.
You got to observe some things. Come on, when I come into a service, I want to come into a service where I'm going to enjoy Christ, enjoy worship, be free. I don't want to go nowhere where I got to sit up there around stuck up people. Walking around like they're a pious peacock up on Pasadena.
Oh, my God.
I want to be able to enjoy.
Amen.
Where I am. Come on. We got to get in the point of our lives where we understand our atmosphere.
Amen.
We're assessing some things. Oh, this ain't the room. This, okay. Hey, how you doing? Glory. This ain't the room I need to sit on. Okay, let me go check this one over here. Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Oh, that shows up ain't the room I need to sit on. Oh, you look at that. You look at me. Stop stubborn. You don't even want to move for me to get in. Okay, that ain't the room. Y'all ain't talking. Now, I'm trying to slide in. You don't even want to get on the move. You trying to move. No, we can't fit through that at the same time. You don't want to move. That ain't for me. I'm assessing the atmosphere. Yes, ma'am. Some people let you know, some children let you know they don't want to be around you. You nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we show them that we're nasty and mean.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, sit me by the musician. Huh? They seem like they be the lively ones. They're probably sitting out there like, okay, huh? All right. Assess your atmosphere.
Amen.
Learn, know your surroundings.
Right.
Know who you're around.
That's
going to lift you.
Right.
And not when you go around somebody, you feel worse off when you leave than the way you came. Yes, ma'am. Something you crying. You about to fall apart. Come on, what you you're the one just saying that, Lord, we'll fix it for you. You got to have the Holy Spirit working. Wasn't you the one just trying to tell me? Now you're going through something and you don't even know what to do. What is it? Their words are poison or power. What are their words? Their words are poison or power. What are you speaking? Are you putting out poison or power? Are you putting out something that's destructive or creative? Your words. What are you putting out? Something destructive or something creative? What are you putting out? Are you putting out something that's of doubt or faith building? You putting something that's going to help build the faith. What are you saying, people? Assess them accurately. You got to do some accurate assessing. Don't just take one quick look. Come on, it may take a little longer. Because you know people always start out talking good. Folks start out talking good. Oh, the Lord God, thy God. So blessed and highly favored. God is so awesome. He's been good to me. God has just done so much for me, I can't tell it all. I remember, and I didn't have a doubt. God came through right on time. He's been good. He's been good. Know how to start out talking real good. But let hell hit the house. I don't know why. Lord taking me through all this stuff. He know I've been trying to do everything I'm supposed to do. I've been there, but you've been talking about everybody. You've been lying on anybody. You've been cheating on somebody. Y'all ain't talking to me. Child, I was over there, and them folks, they ain't no good. I tell you, they always fussing and fighting over there. But hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, God. That's why I don't understand, and I don't get with folks that when they start post out on Facebook, I see posts and read posts. Oh, I thank the Lord for all this. All the beef start happening. Come on, what are you putting out? Power or poison? You can't come and talk about how good God is, and then you cussing the rest of your city.
All right.
Y'all, ladies, I don't give. Matthew 9:23-25, and when Jesus came, he said unto them, give place For the man is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. You got to assess your atmosphere because everybody don't believe the way you believe.
Amen.
That's why everybody can't come down here when I'm ministering in altar and agreeing. Everybody can't touch it and agreeing with you. Come on. Can't have any and everybody coming to help lay hands and be around because everybody's not touching and agreeing. You had to put some folk out. Okay, the atmosphere, look, y'all get on out the way. Y'all move. Y'all go. Come here and take the baby by the hand. Now let me work with somebody that's in agreement with me, that's in the right atmosphere, that's believing the same way I'm believing, that's understanding the same way I'm understanding, that know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he may ask or think according to the power that works within us. Stop on this one. No, I'm going to stop on 25. I'm going to do it. 23, assess your atmosphere. 24, and y'all already got one. Y'all just have to catch up. 24, pinpoint your support system. Pinpoint your support system. Got to know who your supporters are. Got to know who your supporters are. I see who my supporters are. I got support. Pinpoint your supporters. Your support system. Nobody succeeds alone. Nobody. Nobody succeeds alone. Can't do it by yourself. No man is an island. You cannot do it by yourself. I don't care how hard you try. You cannot do it by yourself. You're going to need somebody. That's why everybody loves Biggie Winans. I love Biggie Winans. But as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. That ain't true. That's why God gave Adam and Eve. Y'all ain't talking. You need somebody. Huh? That's why Paul had silence. Huh? Come on, you need somebody. Elijah had Elijah. You need somebody. Pinpoint your support system. Friends defer. Because some will correct you. Friends, they differ, but some will correct you. Others direct you. And some make you think. Others make you feel. Friends, you got something that's going to correct you. You might not like it. Because guess what? I found out people don't like being corrected. You're wrong, you're wrong. Sometimes you stand to be corrected. Even me. Huh? That's why I say I stand to be corrected. And it don't bother or matter. If I'm wrong in a way and somebody corrects me, Bishop, that ain't true. Guess what I do? Thank you. Ain't nothing wrong about that. Some folk correct you. Others direct you. Some folk make you think.
Amen.
And others will make you feel. Pinpoint those who truly stimulate you, that educate you. Huh? Particularly build your foundation for friendship. A support system that is the result of thought instead of chance. Got to build that foundation on friends. Well, I say that's why I love this great fraternity that I'm a part of. Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Well, we say friendship is essential to the soul. How this is about friends. How strong can your friendship be? Faith of a friend of a friend. Huh? Well, essential to the soul. Now, it's really important to have someone that is linked with you in, through the thick and the thin. Huh? That you can call 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, they'll come see about you. You can talk to them, they'll tell you if you're wrong, you're wrong. Hmm? And that's it, that's where it stops. They've gone, maybe upset because he told you the truth, turn around, let me know they're his friend.
That's right.
Because you told me what was right. And we appreciate that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Y'all write this down in your notes. I'm giving you these scriptures. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Not Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one. But if they fall, the one will lift up himself. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Huh? You got somebody that will help you. Let me go and get this one here. 25. Screen doubters. 25. Screen doubters. Yeah, you got to screen your doubters. Folks that doubt, you got to screen them. Watch. I don't know if y'all too old to know something about this. Y'all too old, a little bit too old to know something about this. You know, back in the woodway, country ways, you know, screen doors. They had up on the porches, they had screen doors on the houses.
Right.
And what that did, that prevented obnoxious insects from getting inside the home. The screens. If you want to keep the insects out, you got a screen. If you wanted to have the door open and the wind blowing, you put a screen door up. And that helped keep all those insects and stuff out that would bother you and everything because of the screen doors. You got to know how to screen your doubters.
Right.
You got to know how to put up a screen to keep the doubters out, those obnoxious insects. That bitterness. That jealousy, I'm talking about that obnoxious insects. You got to put up this screen door, all that bitterness and that envy, you got to put screen doors up to keep all that obnoxious insects out, you must assertively screen out people who are carriers of the virus of doubt and unbelief. You got to keep those people out. It's a virus that's trying to get in, and you got to know how to put your screen up to keep them out from bringing that virus in of doubt and unbelief. Boldly protect your ears and life from absorbing talk that does not edify and build. You got to protect the screens up on your ears so you can't hear all that foolishness that's not going to edify and build you up, but want to try to tear you down. Come on in here. Galatians 5 and 9. Matthew 16, 23 in Galatians 5 and 9. Let's do Matthew 16, 23. It says, but he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me. Thou art an offense unto me. But thou savorest not the thing that be of God, but those that be of me. Matthew 16:23. He would tell Peter, get behind me, because that's foolishness you talking. You ain't talking the things of God. You talking things of me. Get behind me. Galatians 5 and 9. A little leaven is the whole lump. A little leaven. It spoils the whole lump. It messes everything up. You got one rotten apple, you let it sit that long enough, it's going to spoil everything. It's going to start spoiling. It's going to start spoiling from the top down or from the bottom up. It's going to start wherever that apple at, that's bad. It can be in the middle and everything, your whole bunch going to be messed up. It's sitting that long because guess what? It start hitting the ones that's right next to it. You next to that bad apple, guess what? That's falling, it's going to start off on you. That rotten is going to hit you. You're going to get rotten and be bitter. I'm trying to stop right now, but I think this 26. Recognizing doubt produces tragedies. 26. Recognizing doubt produces tragedies. Understand, people of God, God has feelings. And some words grieve his heart. Some words excite his heart. Unbelief brings pain to God. Your unbelief, it brings pain to him, but your faith brings pleasure to him. You can't please God without faith. It's impossible to do it. Watch, 12 spies analyzed Canaan for 40 days. And Moses and the people accepted the report of doubt from the 10 instead of the faith from the 2. Joshua and Caleb, they had the faith, but the people, Moses, they accepted from what the 10 said. Recognize doubt produces tragedies. Each day of doubt brought 365 days of heartache. Doubt is as contagious as faith. And I'm stopping here. Numbers 14:34. After the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquity. Even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So that's my number. I'm stopping this time for real. 27. Since that's my number. 27. Because all this other stuff is good too, but mark contentious people. Got to mark contentious people. In other words, know those who always create conflict, complain, and are hostile towards everything. You got to point them out, mark them out. Folks that are always bringing up conflict and complaining and hostile and everything. Don't give them an opportunity to air their grievances and inject their poison into the conversation. That's why I was trying to stop. You can't let everybody talk. Sometimes you got to know when to stop, folks. Because they're upset with somebody and they'll come and try to inject that poison into the conversation. And then all the rest of the conversation will be on that particular statement or remarks that they made, or grievances that they had. They take you off focus and start talking about their grievances. So now they've injected that poison into you that you miss what God has for you, because you're entertaining somebody mad at somebody because somebody did this to somebody. That's why teachers got to be able to take charge of classes.
That's right, dear. That's right.
You got to take charge.
That's right,
dear. Yep. You just can't let any and everything be talked about. Take charge. A folk will get you off focus if you let them. Sometimes they don't want to talk about nothing. They don't want to learn, or they don't want to get better. They want to continue to hold on to what they're upset about. That ain't important. Because what God is trying to give you something to handle that, but all you want to do is talk about it. Who can tell you? Understand your bishop, and know your bishop and people that know me. Look, I don't linger around stuff with things.
Amen.
Well, if I say something, I just say what I said, and I'm over, I'm done with it. That's it. I ain't gonna keep talking about it.
Amen.
Well, I'm done. For what?
Amen.
We gotta know when to get over stuff. It's done. There's no biggie. There's no biggie. Okay. Let's move. God is still God. But now, because guess what? If you keep on injecting that, something else is about to come out that you ain't gonna like. Because that's what happens when we keep on trying to, as we say, beat a dead horse. You keep on talking and talking about something, folks tell you, okay, I'm done, you know, that we cool. And you keep on bringing it up. And you ain't done with it. You go to somebody else trying to bring it up, trying to get them to talk about it. Then after a while, something's going to be said that you really didn't want to hear. Now you're going to be upset with them and whoever that is. Now you're upset all around again, and you don't want to do nothing because you kept on bringing stuff up. You brought the hostility into the environment. This is the last two scriptures, Romans 16 and 17. Romans 16 and 17. Yeah. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Avoid foolish people that want to bring division among you. Folk that want to come talk to you about somebody, then go with somebody else and talk to them about that person they just talked about, that you have to run from them. Avoid them. So people will try to pray you for you to hate somebody because they got a problem with them. I'm giving you a word. Romans 16:17 says, avoid them, run from them, get away from them. They're causing division. Okay, Proverbs 22:10. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. When you get rid of the foolish sugar, the one that's bringing all this contention, all that stuff. shall. Get rid of the one that's lying about everybody. Stop hanging out with the one that's bringing all kind of foolishness. And watch stuff cease. You wondering why you peace at peace now? You got rid of the scoffer. That's why you can rest now. All right, I'm done. That's it. I'm done. I guess I'm gonna have to go back and start with number one and come back up to 18 for the audience so they can get that part. But I'm telling you, this is good. This is good. This is helpful. This has been helpful to me as well. So we're grateful and thankful for that and for you. I'm thankful for our followers, our supporters. We thank God for you and say, hey, assess your atmospheres from now on. You know, some atmospheres you don't want to be around. You don't want that stuff to hit your ear. Put your screens up. Put your screens up, everything. So I'll go back. We'll go back. We'll take up. We'll go back and do 1 through 18. I'm going to finish up. We got 31. I stopped at 28. So I'll do 28 and then go back and come back up. How about that? So y'all won't miss it, and then we can get it all over again. I'm just enjoying this. So we're grateful and thankful for that. Amen. We thank God for you all tuning in. Tell a neighbor, tell somebody. We will be on. We'll be back next week. Amen. Next week, we'll go back through this again. Just some seeds of wisdom that will help us through life and help us be who God wants us to be. So we thank you. We love you. We give God glory and honor for you. Peace out to all of you. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for looking, tuning in. Thank you for supporting.